Let's begin. This week we have a doubleheader. Parshas Behar, Bichukosai Shabbos Chazak. We have the first idea I'd like to discuss is to take note that in Parshas Behar. Parshas Behar, the first of these two parshios, if you count carefully, you will discover that there are exactly 24 mitzvahs in Parshas Behar. Okay, that's what the Moine HaMitzvos, 24. Now we just spent 2 days discussing the Sifrei Tanakh, and we know that we have a Shushna Tanakh, it's divided into 24 books. Why? It all comes from the Pasuk, Vahi Kechaloisai, I've got rid of the Pasuk, Vahi Kechaloisai Ladaver, two psukim. Moish Rabbeinu, when he concluded giving over the Torah Chazal Darshan, Kechaloisai is doing Choser, the Vav is missing, a Lashon of Kala, that Torah is a Kala. What is unique about a Kala? So we learned in Sefer Yeshaya, Kala wears 24 tachshitin, 24 pieces of jewelry. Yeshaya there, that's a tradition. Yeshaya was giving Musa Klai, so if you're not going to behave yourself, the 24 tachshit are going to be turned into 24 objects of different things, which instead of jewelry, there will be wounds, there will be sackcloth, there will be different signs of mourning if you don't do tshuva. But this is the tradition. There are 24 Sifrei Tanakh because Tanakh is a kala, a bride, and a bride wears 24 different pieces of jewelry. So it's fascinating that here in this week's parasha, Parash Behar, there are 24 mitzvahs. And I think there's a hidden message is that the mitzvahs, the Parashas Behar, is the kala of the Tayag mitzvahs. In other words, in a homiletic setting, form, interpretation, you can say that there are different types of mitzvahs. The mitzvah a person performs, if you personify the Torah, there are mitzvahs that you can relate to the beginning of one's life. There are mitzvahs that relate to the end of one's life. There are mitzvahs that you relate to the middle of one's life. What is the most beautiful time in a person's life? Chosen Kala. Chosen Kala is the tkufa where it's all hopes and dreams. It's the most beautiful time, aspirations. It's we have a photographer. He knows. He's an aide. Aid Neman. Is that correct? Am I saying good?
Oh, yeah.
It's the most beautiful time in a person's life. The most beautiful time of a person's life is the time of Chosen Kala. Okay, we know people spend the most money for a bride, a wedding, or a wedding cost, and all the preparations, achanas. What are the mitzvahs of Parshas Behar? It's Shemitah, Yovel. If you buy and sell land in Eretz Yisrael, and you can't afford, you have to sell your property, you have to buy it back. It's all about living in Eretz Yisrael with emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and conducting yourself properly with your fellow Jew. There are many mitzvahs in the Torah that are korbanos. Okay, you come to the Beis HaMikdash, alright, you bring korbanos, all different types of korbanos. There are many mitzvahs that have nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. They have to do with don't eat basar v'chalav, wear tzitzis, wear tefillin, nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. And then there are mitzvahs that are tluyos bo'aretz. Yeah, there's truma, and there's maisa, there's orla, there's klayim. None of those are in this week's parsha. In this week's parsha, you have a very unique set of mitzvahs. By and large, you have to go through every single mitzvah, but definitely by and large, the vast majority, and the ones that are missing, I'm sure we can work them out, are all mitzvahs where you're living in the land. You're living in your land, not in Golos, not in Chutz Li'aretz, not in America. You're living in your homeland, the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the Avos, and you're living there in a proper frame of mind with emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to work the land for 6 years, and the seventh year, Shabbos LaHashem, and then it'll come Yovel, Dror, and if I sell property to my friend, there's a way I'm going to sell land to my friend. I'm not going to overcharge. There's not going to be any oinah. We're going to figure out how many years is left until Yovel, when the land comes back. If I want to redeem it, I have a right. After all, this is my ancestral plot. I can redeem it. You have to let me buy it back. But not less 2 years. For 2 years, at least you get to keep it. You can use it. If I have a house, if I have a field. All the various laws
of how one conducts himself in Eretz Yisrael, connected in relation to the emuna one must have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how you deal with your friend living in relation to the land. This is a kala, the most beautiful section of the Torah, because this is what, this was the goal of the Torah. The goal was, I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim to bring you v'hevesi el ha'aretz, to bring you into Eretz Yisrael to live a Torah-dik life. What's the Torah-dik life in Eretz Yisrael? To live with emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu bein Adam la'makom v'adam l'chaveiro in Eretz Yisrael. That's Parshas Bahar. The other parshas are also beautiful parshas. A child's also a beautiful person. An adult also a beautiful person. There are many tekuvos in life that are beautiful, but they're different. This Parsha Bahar is the kala. It's the kala, it's the yoifi of the Tayag Mitzvos. You look puzzled. You don't go for this.
I'm still processing it.
Okay, think about it. It's okay. I passed this by a Kano yesterday, and he told me it's good. So
What do you fast?
I don't get. Okay, let's go further. We'll try another part. We'll strike one. Okay. Parshas Bahar. The beginning of the parasha, the beginning of, you don't need a chumash, do not worry. The beginning of parashas, Perek Chaf Hey, 25 pasuk Aleph. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe b'har Sinai lemar, daber el bnei Yisrael v'imartalem ki yisvo l'aretz. We begin the parasha of Shemitah. Famous Rashi. My Indian Shemitah eitzel har Sinai. Apples and oranges. What in the world is going on? What does Shemitah have to do with har Sinai? Okay, so Rashi goes on to say the famous part. Ma Shemitah nemru kilolo seho uproto seho v'diktukeho. The kolom, the protim, and the diktukim mis Sinai. So to don't make any mistake, all of the other mitzvot that were given mis Sinai, every little detail was given, nothing was given later on. This is the famous Rashi. But many of the Darshanim come along and like to give their own interpretation of my inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. So I saw a very interesting idea, which in Sefer Alehi Goyon, we came with my new favorite Svarim by Rav Klein. I've got his first name already. Very interesting Darshan, very interesting ideas, very, very powerful Sefer. And he says as follows. He says, it's one thing if you want to match up two things which have absolutely nothing to do with each other. You take two objects, they have nothing to do with each other, you can put them together. Alright, what are they doing? What are you doing? You go on the train, you sit next to a person, what do you have in common with him? Absolutely nothing. Okay. But then there's another time when you put together two things and you see that there was a kavana. Someone tried to match you up with the right person. But if you try to match me up with the right person, why did you fall short of going all the way? And we have a good example. But you want to go put a person, you want to put an object with its own kind. Once you're putting it with its own kind, within its own kind, there are things that are more similar and less similar. Go all the way. Now, what do we mean here as follows? The truth is, Shemitah and Yovel have a lot in common. Rashi goes, my inyan Shemitah eitzel har Sinai. Or do they have nothing? There's Shemitah and there's har Sinai. No, they have a lot in common. What do we mean they have a lot in common? What is Sinai? Sinai represents the concept of Matan Torah. When did we receive the Torah? After how many days? After 49 days. We count 7 weeks. Sheva, Shabbosos, Tamimos, you count 7 weeks. The process. We left Mitzrayim, we can't go through the process. Then we come to Sinai. Okay, what is Shemitah? 7 years, and that's not the end. After Shemitah, how many Shemitahs do we count? We count 7 times 7, and then what happens in the year 50? Year 50 is Yovel. What happens in Yovel? Yovel, what does the word Yovel mean, in fact? It means a horn. And what's the horn mean when they blow them across them? Duror, b'chol aretz. The blowing of the horn is what brings about freedom. Duror, l'chol aretz. And everyone goes free. All of the slaves go free. The land is released from its current owners. Return. Freedom. Yovel. What is Torah? Chazal tell us that Ein l'cha ben choyrin elami sha'oisek b'Torah. Part of Matan Torah, the ultimate freedom, was Matan Torah. It gives a person freedom of the mind. It's the ultimate chayus. We left Mitzrayim. We were in Egypt. We were slaves. Okay, we were slaves. So we left. We're no longer slaves. We left Egypt, but it's an ongoing process to release ourselves from we're a slave in our minds. We're still slaves. We're still slave mentality. Just because we physically left Egypt, we were not fully b'nei choyrin, free individuals, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. So the truth is, think about it, there's a very, very great similarity between Yovel and Sinai. Because Yovel is the culmination of what freedom. 7 times 7, you come to Yovel, across and Dorar. Yovel means, Yovel literally means the shofar, the horn. You blow the horn, freedom. Sinai is the culmination of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Avodim hayinu l'faro. We were slaves. We were slaves. We left Egypt. And then that's not chayus. We're still not fully free. The freedom really occurred after we left Egypt, and we counted 49 days. We came to Har Sinai, day 50. Hashem gave us the Torah. That is the ultimate freedom. So the truth is, there's a very great similarity between Yovel and Sinai. So this is what's so disturbing. If you're already making an attempt to match up two different items, why did you fall short and go to Shemitah and not go all the way to Yovel? If the Torah wants to give a message, Bahar Sinai, it should insert the word Bahar Sinai when it describes the parasha of Yovel, not when it describes the parasha of Shemitah. Shemitah is a preliminary step to Yovel. If you go and you take tefillin, and you put tefillin next to Har Sinai, tzitzis, mayin tzitzis eitzel Har Sinai, absolutely nothing. Then you'll say, ma this, the protein was given, we'll make some drasha, fine, everything is fine and good. But the fact that you're mixing up Shemitah with Yovel, they really do have something very much in common. Because they're both, because Shemitah is part of the process which takes us to Yovel, it's the preliminary step to Yovel, and Yovel has everything to do with Har Sinai. So it's a tease. It's a tease. You're already touching upon similarities, but you're not going all the way. Why are you stopping short?
So you can say also that Sinai is part of the process, because Sinai is not the actual Kabbalah Satara.
It is the Kabbalah Satara.
Given on Sinai, but the actual thing is Kabbalah Satara.
Okay, I hear what you say. You're saying an idea. Okay, interesting. Let's put it on hold. It's a good idea. I hear what you're saying. So I want to say something very similar. And similar idea. The answer is, unfortunately, we have this misunderstanding that in life and in Yadus, it's either all or nothing. Many people make this, it's either you got it all, or you got nothing. It's not true. Everything in Yadus, in Torah, in Avodah, is a process. And every step of the process is a microcosm, or is a taste of the goal itself. We are precisely comparing Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai, just like Sinai is Mamish Chirus Ein Lecha Ben Chorin Elam Yishoyzek B'Torah. Sinai was the culmination of Yitzias Yisrael, when no longer is there the Avdus. Likewise, every step in the process of Yovel, every cycle, there are 7 cycles until you get to Yovel, every Shemitah is a token Yovel, is a token Shemitah. Every step in the process, you don't have to reach the goal, reach the finish line. Even if you reach a certain breakpoint that you set for yourself, you've also achieved a darga of Sinai, of Cherus, of it's a level. And that's an important point. The person should realize it's not all or nothing. Even if you come to a certain breakpoint, that's also an accomplishment. It's also a sense of cheres. It's also an accomplishment which a person has to take pride in and recognize that he has achieved something in Avodah and Torah. Okay, let's go to another idea. And this idea comes from the... Well, yeah.
This concept of all or nothing, yeah, can also mean a tendency to pick and choose.
A tendency to pick and choose? I don't know.
In other words, when you say it's all or nothing, it's not that. So, there's a forfeit there that can lead to picking.
Okay, you have to be careful. It's everything has nisyonos.
No, you have to accept that everything is correct. You haven't attained that level yet. You're aspiring to get there. You didn't
Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea comes from the Chassam Sofer. It's a very powerful idea. Chassam Sofer takes note, we have here in the Parsha of the Shemitah, person is going to complain and going to worry, what am I going to eat in the seventh year? Right, so here we have the Pasuk.
Yes, which
Pasuk? What are we going to do in the seventh year? We're not able to plant, we're not able to gather now grain. So Hashem says, do not worry. I will commit my brach for you in the sixth year, and it will produce produce for 3 years. You need not worry. The land will produce enough to get you through the year 6, 7, and 8, because you're starting the new cycle. You're not going to be able to plant in the seventh year, so you'll have what you do during the eighth year, which is going to be the first year of the new cycle. So do not worry. Now let's take a step back. Let's just say the idea and then read this into the pasuk. We find in times, in life, people have nisyonos, difficult times. So what do you do? Nothing. What can you do? You have to have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get through the difficult times. We find sometimes, now I don't know if you really find this today, you have to really dilute this idea in today's times to a very great level. You hear stories, like more of these type of stories, like years ago, generations ago, where people have an ability, I don't know, to go to force Hashem, Kaviyachal, to find a solution. Like you hear these stories, people didn't have children. So they went to a gadol, and they basically wanted a brach. And the gadol had a ruach hakodesh. I'm not talking about our generation. You have to again dilute this idea. And I'm not going to dilute it. You have to figure out how this would apply today. But it does apply in a very limited sense today, such an idea. They go to a gadol, and they ask the gadol, I have a tzara, I need a solution. And you find the gadol, they didn't give, I'm sorry, no, sometimes you have to have emunah. And they come back, and they come back, and they drive these gadolim crazy. I'm not leaving until you provide a solution. And they say, okay, fine, I'll give you a bracha. Again, I'm not talking about this generation. You'll have a child. Or you'll have, this is going to happen, a solution will happen. And sure enough, shortly thereafter, after the bracha is given, basically a miracle happens. But there's a cost. Shortly thereafter, that same person suffers a very great loss. So in other words, There's no free lunch. If a person wants to force HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand, if it's shaykh to do such a thing, which you do find precedent for, it's not going to come for free. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his cheshbonos. You don't know what life has in store for you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pulling the strings. There's no free lunch. Sometimes and many times it's just better. Just have emunah, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, this is how it's going to be, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make things better. That's one approach. And if you're going to force Hashem's hand, you don't necessarily know that the end will be for your better. You'll get what you want now, but who knows if it really was better to get what you have wanted. Maybe it would have been better not to have gotten what you wanted for whatever different reason. I'm sure everyone could imagine in their mind, in life, you see such things here and there, such ideas. The Chassam Sofer says that this idea, again, this has to be adjusted for Heicha Timson in dealing hashkaf in life. He says this idea is mamish hinted to, is expressed here in this pasuk, in these psukim here. There are two different ways. The Torah, the year of Shemitah, a person doesn't have food. He's not planting. There are two ways a person can get through the year 6, 7, 8. Either the year 6, the land will produce the average amount of whatever it normally produces, the average amount of produce, and you got a problem. The year 6 has passed. I only have enough food to get through 1 year. No miracles happened. the land did not produce enough produce to last me for 3 years. What am I going to do? It's a very big nisayon. Let's not make light of it. So a person, if he's on a very high level, can have emunah, I'll get through. I only have enough for 1 year. The next year, I'll find a job. I'll do this, I'll do that. Whatever will be, will be. I have emunah pshuta in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe somehow the produce that my land has produced in this 1 year will get me through the next 3 years. You'll eat a little bit, I'll go on a diet for the next 3 years, and I'll have enough to eat for the next 3 years. Then there are people that are very nervous, and they say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, you told me to come here to this land, to live here, to observe Shemitah. The land is only going to produce a certain amount. I'm not going to be able to get through. It's not fair. Zelo fair. I have a nephew in Israel. Zelo fair. Zelo fair. It's not fair. You complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just not right. So what am I going to say? Hashem says, listen, you know, so it's not right. You brought me here. Okay. You're very uncomfortable. You're struggling. I told you, you're right. I told you to come here, there to show, I'll take care of you. Okay, I'm going to do for you a miracle. In year 6, the asos es hatfua l'shloish hashanim. The storehouse will be triple full in this year than ordinarily will be. You forced Hashem. Now, do you have to worry now? No. 3 years, I'm home free. I forced Hashem to make true, to be true to His promise. I have no daigus. I have parnasa. Everything is fine and good. I forced Hashem to do for me something which is unusual. So, look at what the pasuk says afterwards. Now, before we go to what the pasuk says afterwards, let's just take a chamayim chazal. Chazal say we have a contradiction. On one in the Torah says, Hashamayim, Shamayim laHashem. V'aretz nosan livdeh. It's your Hashem. I'm giving you this earth. It's for you, yours to keep. You enjoy this world. On the other end, the pasuk says laHashem harsim loa. Hashem is he's the balabas. You are nothing. You are nothing. Hashem is the owner. You're just a guest in this world. So I have a stira. You're the balabas, or no? You're just a guest. So the Gemara answers. We don't really need the answer for our purpose. Kan koydim bracha, kan liyacha bracha. If you makir the ribbono shel olam b'meinga bracha, baruch atah Hashem l'chinu melech olam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Now, v'ha'oretz nosan livnei adam, you're the balabas, I give it to you, it's yours, of yishuv hadas, it's yours. But if you don't want to recognize that I'm a ribbono shel olam, then you know what? You're just a guest. Behave yourself. Don't get too comfortable here. L'Hashem ha'oretz umeloam. Now let's go look at these psukim in light of these ideas. We have here Yovel. I'm reading them so you don't need a chobish in front of you. We have here Yovel, and then we have selling the land, then we have and here are the critical words, Vishavtem al ha'oretz lovetach. You live on the land in security. That's the end of the Aliyah. And then, after this end begins, let me read the next two psukim so you'll get a flavor I'm trying to say. The pasuk now is going backwards to the beginning of the parasha. V'nosna, pasuk Yutes 19. V'nosna ha'aretz pirya, v'achaltem losova, v'shavtem lovetach olecha, v'chi soimru manoichal ba'shano ha'shevi'is, heim loy nizhav loy nezav siloseinu, v'tzivisi. Okay, let's jump ahead. The land will produce. And then it goes on to say, v'ha'aretz lo simocher litzmisus ki li ha'aretz. It's my land. Behave yourself. Doesn't say here v'shavtem al ha'aretz lo vetach. It's my land. The Chasam Sofer says, look what's going on. We first have the entire parish of Shemitah. Work the land for 6 years. Year 7, bottle. What does that mean, year 7? There's a teva. If you don't work the land, it's not going to produce. You're not going to have what to eat. It's Shabbos Aretz. Torah doesn't say anything. Too bad. Too bad. Just have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He'll provide for you. He brought you into this world. He'll take care of you. And the pasuk goes on to say, don't worry. V'nosna ha'aretz piria v'achaltem l'sova. The earth will produce its food. Nothing special. Nothing special. V'achaltem l'sova. V'shavtem lovetach oleho. And you'll live on the land in security. But if you're going to complain, and you're going to say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not fair. You told me not to work the land. I'm worried. I have daigis. And you're gonna force Hashem's hand to provide for you. V'chi soimru ma'noichal. I don't want to have this emuna, this high level of emuna. I want you to provide me in advance. I'm going to listen to your Torah. You better provide me in advance. I'm going to force you because you told me that I'm going to live. V'chi soimru ma'noichal b'ashana hashviyis heiloi nizur lo nesav esetuseinu. Okay, you want to force me? Because I told you to do something extreme and not work the land? Okay, I'll give you. A miracle is going to happen. But you should know something, you're going to pay a price for this miracle. And you know what the price is? But you should know, it's not your land. I'm going to make you feel like a guest in this land. There's a trade-off. If you can reach the higher level of emunah and let Hashem conduct the world al derech hateva, and you won't plant in year 7, and you won't have what to eat, and you'll have emunah that somehow, if Hashem told me not to plant in year 7, somehow I'll get through. People have gotten through a lot worse. Because the land is Shabbos LaHashem, you'll focus on your emunah. Don't worry, you'll get through. And not only will you get through, v'shavtem al ha'aretz lovetach, you will be a resident. It's yours. I'm going to make you feel comfortable. But if you're going to get all worked up and you're not going to trust me and you're going to start forcing me to come through for you and you don't want to have that emunah, you have to be comfortable. Everything has to work out exactly the way you want it, the way you're comfortable. Okay, you want to go to a mekubal and the mekubal is going to pull all the strings for you. He'll pull all the strings for you, do all these supernatural things and make it happen. Okay, you know what, it'll work. There are such things where mekubalim can go and pull. I don't know if there are today, but definitely in the previous generations there were. There are people that can pull all the strings and make everything happen. It'll work out just like, but there's a price to pay. The price to pay is, you lost out. V'shavtem al ha'aretz lovetach. I'm going to make you feel like you're just a guest here. Ki li kol ha'aretz. V'aretz lo simochel litzmisus ki li ha'aretz. It's my property. What are you doing here in this world? Behave yourself. You're going to pay for it.
First of all, anytime you force Hashem to do a nace, it's costing you chosim anyway.
Well, we don't know what that means. So that's really what he's saying. Yeah. That's what he's saying. But he's saying it even on a deeper level. Costing you chosim. I'll worry about it in Olam Haba, what it costs me. He's saying your whole life in this world is different. Forget about these mystical things. It's a whole frame of mind. Are you secure? The greatest bracha in this world is Yeshiv Hadas. You can get, I have Yeshiv Hadas, I have a presence of mind, I can get through whatever I need to get through. I'm going to give you that Yeshiv Hadas if only you'll make the effort to have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when you have difficult times, and I'll be there, HaTeva, things are not going to work out. But if you're going to force me, you know better than me. You have a better plan for this world and for your life than me. Okay, you want to force me? There are times when I will allow myself to be forced. After all, Shemitah is the classic case. It's not right for me to go tell you, take your Eretz Yisrael and tell you not to work the land and you should starve to death. You're right. Okay, so I have to make true to my word. I'll give you 3 years in advance. It's a price to pay.
Oh, it's interesting. You want menuchas and nefesh, and you're going to get less menuchas.
Exactly. That's the vaf nechasam saif, a very powerful hashkafa, musar, in how to live your life. You have to sit back sometimes and just Hashem has his plans. Don't overdo it. You have to be mispal. Don't kid yourself. There's a balance.
That's what I was saying.
There's a balance. Avada.
A form of forcing Hashem.
No, not forcing. You don't demand when you daven. You're not allowed to demand things. You have to make requests. Please, Hashem. Please, it's not a matter of forcing. We're dealing over here where you're forcing Hashem. Saying,
well, request is a minor form of request.
It's different. It's a different approach. When you dive in, it's rachanim. Please give us what we don't deserve. We have a problem. We don't deserve it. What? Hachno. You better. I'm forcing you. I've done all these mitzvahs. I gave $1 million tzedakah. I did this. I did this.
Yeah.
You have to. You mechuyev. That's a wrong approach. Within tefillah, you can be marbet tefillah, but you have to have the proper mindset. Okay, let's go to another idea.
What about go to the best doctor? That's the
no. That's going to the best doctor is
Hishtadlus.
You go to the best of the best.
What's how they could be the forcing of Hashem?
That's how I started this idea. I told you that every person on their own, you can't generalize on their level, can relate to this differently. There is no such thing today. It's not that I don't know anyone today alive that you can go to today and he has the power to pull all the strings. I don't know. You know people that can do the thing. They say about different income. Guaranteed. If you buy the kid, if you really believe that, you buy the kid, you guarantee that you'll have a salvation. This is total nonsense. We all know. Go back 100 years. We know there are stories about Gedolim that had Ruach HaKodesh, and if they said something, it happened. And when you ask them the proper way, it's mevakesh racham, and not to force Hashem's hands. But there are stories where I know of a certain story of a certain gadol. They went to a certain gadol, the gadol Haruach HaKodesh, no question about it. This goes back before I was born. They say about the story, but I know from the family, I know. And the mamish, they were mevakesh from this gadol to have a child. And the gadol, he gave brachas to many people, but this, he just didn't give a bracha, and he never. And they always were bothered. They went back and back and back, and finally they badgered him so much, he gave them a bracha. And Achman al Islam, they had a child, and they didn't have nachas from the child. Just to say it lightly, it wasn't a good situation. And they themselves, in hindsight, they saw the Ruach HaKodesh of this gadol. He saw the Ruach HaKodesh. It's not in their best interest. Hashem has his cheshbonos. You don't know. It was not in their best. You want it? Okay, I'll give it to you. I'll pull the strings. But is it really for your ultimate benefit? No one can tell. No one knows. So you don't know Hashem's cheshbonos. There's always a price to pay when you force Hashem to do what Hashem would not want to do on his own. There's racham, of course, you can be mispal that Hashem will want to do it through tefillah, through racham, and through bakashas. Okay, let's go to another idea. I have two more ideas. What? This chassam's probably Torah Smesha. Yeah. I saw this in a Likud say, but I believe it's in Torah Smesha. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea, I know my father would have a lot of hanah from. My father was a very bucky in Oinah. In my father's Zechon Levracha, and we have here a var. This is another var from the Chassam Sefer. It's a brilliant var from the Chassam Sefer. We have here the parish of Oinah. Two different times of Oinah. The first Oinah is Oinah's moment, and the second Oinah is V'leisoinu ish esami. So Rashi says the second time it says Pasuk Yud Zayin Perik Chafei Pasuk Yud Zayin V'leisoinu ish esami. So V'yareisim Elokecha Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem Pasuk Yud Zayin. So it's a cute little var from the Chassam Sefer. Can his here? Al oinoas devarim, shelo yaknid ish es chavero. Don't provoke your friend. Velo yasienu eitza sheeno hagenes lo. Do not give him bad advice. Lefi darko, what is in that person's best interest? Vehanoso and his benefit. Shel yoyitz fun. Okay. In order to enhance yourself, don't give someone bad advice. The kasha is this pasuk has nothing to do with oinoas devarim. This pasuk is oinoas mammon. We're dealing with dini mammonis. I'm selling you a field. I'm buying buying a field and redeeming a field, and you have to calculate how many years are left until Yovel, and based upon that number of that the price that was originally paid and how many years are left, that's going to be the redeeming value. So when you engage in these activities, don't wrongdo your friend. Don't cheat him. Don't overcharge him. Don't undercharge him. Make sure it's an honest deal. This has nothing to do with Einos Devarim. So why, how in the world do you have the right to go and extrapolate and say that this is Einos Devarim? So similarly, because it's repeated, the pasuk is repeated twice in the parasha, so since it's repeated, so it's a drush, once is for Einos Devarim, once Einos Devarim. But still, Ein Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuta, how could Rashi go out to the Kach and say, Lefi Pshuta, Rashi, Loi Basti Elo Lefarish. I'm only coming to say Pshat. So what's going on? The Chazam Sofer says a beautiful part, fascinating part. Let's discuss this in a specific case. Let's discuss the case where a person sells a field. I sell for 50 years, 49 years, for a certain price. The price that you're supposed to sell it for, and I want to buy it back. I want to redeem it. So the Torah says, if you want to redeem it, it's your ancestral land. You are allowed to force the buyer to take it back. I'm allowed. Give it back to me. And he has to give it back to you. You have to pay him, of course. As long as the buyer had right to use it for 2 years, you can't just go every single day, I'll sell it to you and come back the next day. He has it for at least 2 years, and I want to buy it back. Okay, you can buy it back. You got to pay. And the Torah goes on to say, how much do you pay? Make a calculation how many years left until Yovel. How many misbar shnei tevuos, the years of crops. So let's give an example. Let's say there are 14 years left until Yovel. Okay, so we figure out how much you paid me, and that, and how many years there was in the original price, and how many years are left. Only 14 years left. So I'll pay you now. I'll pay you for 14 years. I'll buy you back for 14 years. So the buyer says, that's how much I'm going to redeem it for. So the buyer, I'm getting confused with you. I'm going to get confused. Just put aside the details. Don't confuse me with facts. You can just get the gist of what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to get all mixed up. Let's say the buyer says, one party says to the other party, but wait a minute. In 14 years, there are two Shemitahs. And in Shemitah, you don't work the land. There's no produce. If there's no produce, that should not be taken into calculation of the purchase price. So the other one says back, no, I'm still entitled because the osas es hatavua l'shloish hashanim. It's true. There's 1 year I'm not going to work the land, but in that the year that I'm not going to work the land, it's going to be compensated by the year in advance where it's going to produce double, triple. So therefore, you have to pay me the money for those, even though I'm not going to work the land, but it still would produce, during that year, it would produce shnei tevuos, years of produce. Because 1 year, the Torah gives a bracha, vitzivisi es birchasi, that it will produce double, triple. So therefore, the Torah says shnei tevuos, the years of produce, even though I'm not going to physically work the land in 1 year, there is a bracha, that the land will produce equivalent of all of those 14 years, even in the years that I'm not going to work. And therefore, that's money. If the land is going to produce triple, double during those years, that's value, that's money. Therefore, I'm going to lose that if you're taking it away from me. I demand to be compensated.
But if you sold it right after the sixth year...
Okay, you have to make the calculation exactly. But this is the argument. So one party says to the other, I'm not paying for those years, because anyway, that's no loss. You're not going to work. The other one says back, no, it is a loss, because even though it's true I'm not going to work those years, but since the bracha in the Torah, there's a bracha in the Torah that you're going to get extra those years, so you mechuyev to compensate. So the other one says back, oh, that's only true if you're a tzaddik. If you're a Baal Madrega, you're from the Bnei Aliyah. You're no tzaddikal. When was the last time you came on time to davening? You're no tzaddikal. You think you're demanding money from me for those extra years because during those years the land would have produced three crops. I'm not giving you, because that's only for people, Anshei Maila, holy people, and you're not from that Madrega. That is what the Pasuk means, Einos Devarim. Here we're dealing with a transaction. And in the transaction, there's a fight over money. And part of the classic, when it says, Ivloi Soinu Ish Esamiso, not everything is accounted for. There has to be in the calculation siyata deshmaya, in order that it should be more value. When you make this calculation of how much the land really worth, there is how much the land is really worth if it would follow the rules of derech ha-teva. And there's how much the land would produce, the shnei tivos, if the land would follow the rules where there's a bracha for a holy person of the bracha of Yosos es hatzvua l'shloish hashanim. And here is where all the fights. This is the Musa Haskell for life. Here is where you open up machlekes. I should go and be generous to you. As if that you're a tzaddik. Since when do you consider me a tzaddik? Here is where every time you have dini mominis, there are always loose ends where you have to give someone the benefit of the doubt. And that benefit of the doubt is where the oinoas, the dvarim, creep in. Don't insult someone in your business transactions. This is the model. This is the mother of all cases. Where you're dealing with actual years where no one's going to work the land. And the Torah says there's a bracha. It's going to produce double the year before. But that's only if you're a tzaddik. I'm going to tell you, you know tzaddik. I'm not paying for that. He says back, how dare you insult me? Do you know who my Zaydu was? Do you know where I come from? Do you know my Yichus? I'm just a good tzaddik like anyone else. Just as good as you. Torah warns you. Be very careful. V'loy soynu ish es ami. So we're dealing here with a transaction in court, a mundane transaction of the land. Years. Ikan hizder Torah. Al oinoas devarin. Be very careful. Okay. Now let's go to the last part. What? Al titzdakarbe. Okay. Let's go to the list. The last part is a vart, which is very apropos after we finish Nehemiah. Daniel, all three svarim, Danielish Nehemiah, is a remez in the Toichicha. Okay, we have this week's parasha of the Toichicha. The Toichicha, there are 49 klolos. Scary stuff. 49 klolos. In fact, parashas v'chosai very much parallels parashas Bahar. Parashas Bahar, and indeed, parashas Bahar, it's 7 times 7. 7 times 7, Shemitah, count 7 years to a grand total of 49. In year 50, you go Yisrael. In the Toicha, there are 49. There are 49 klolos. And as you go through the Toicha, as we go through the, and it's also Svira, and as we go through this procession of 7 times 7, we're really trying to cleanse ourselves from each one of the psukim of Toicha in the Torah. Okay, so there's a lot of Jewish to relate the significance of 49, 7 times 7. But at the very end of the Toicha, there's something that is very bizarre. If you listen carefully to the Baal Koreh, and Mayevsky will back me up, we come here to the end, and let me read. Okay, towards the end of the Toicha, the Hisvadu, no, Afani Eilechim Amikari. Okay, let's go further. I'll bring them into the land of their enemies. Rashi says, O means im. If then, oz, hopefully then, oz yikona livavam he'orel. Their uncircumcised heart will be humbled. They'll be submitted. The oz, and then, yirtsu es havainam, they will be forgiven for their sins. They will pay off their debts. They'll be forgiven for their sins. Okay, that's one of the psukim of the Toichacha. Then, all of a sudden, the Baal Koreh raises his voice, he slows down, he stops mumbling, and he says very loud, V'zocharti es brisi Yaakov. V'af es brisi Yitzchok. V'af es brisi Avraham Ezkar. V'ha'aretz Ezkar. Don't worry, even though it's really bad, it's really, really bad, do not worry, Klal Yisrael. Moshe told, look, don't worry about the toilet, he's still here. You've done all these terrible sins. Still survive, don't worry, ultimately there will be a geula. And then, it's very bizarre, the Baal Koreh once again lowers his voice and goes back and reads one more pasuk of Toichacha. V'horetz te'ozev mehem will be abandoned. V'siretz eshapsosecha. And the shapsosos will be paid off. Boshamah, that we did not observe Shemitah during the years we were in Eretz Yisrael. Boshamah mehem, when it's desolate from the Jewish people. Vehem yirtzu es havanam. Yiyanu v'yan, b'mishpotai mo'osu v'yesu gosai go'al lo nafsham. One more pasuk of Toichacha. And then, lochamol. V'yaf. Now we go to bracha. Hashem says to Klai Yisrael, don't worry. V'yaf gam zos b'yosam b'yeretz oivehem lo ma'astim lo ga'altim l'chalisam v'yafer b'ritz di'itam ki ani Hashem elokei hem v'zochayti lohem b'ritz v'yishodem asher otzeis yosam b'yeretz mishraim l'inei ha'goyim l'yos lohem l'elokim ani Hashem. What is going on? Why is it that the Teicha, it winds down, then we go on a high, v'zochayti es b'ritzi Avraham, and then Nochamol Teichacha, and then Nochamol, Hashem's going to remember us, is going to be Geula. So the Mefarshim say, let's first focus one thing at a time. There were two major events of Golos. Golos by Yisrish and by Yisheni. We just learned Ezra and Nehemiah. And what did we learn in Ezra and Nehemiah? There was a Pekida. What's the Pekida? 52 years after the Churban Bayis Rishon, what happened? Koresh made an announcement, Klal Yisrael, go back home. You can go back home, you can rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Pekida, a remembrance for Klal Yisrael. The Geula is here, go back home. Unfortunately, a short number of only 42,360 people went back, and they began to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, they started to build, they rebuilt the Mizbeach, they brought Kribanos, and they started to rebuild Yerushalayim. And then suddenly what happened? The Aseres Bnei Haman sent a report to Koresh that the Jews are rebelling, and Koresh issued a stay. No more construction, you have to stop. And that lasted for 18/19 years until Daryavesh, through the entire Malchus of Achashverosh, 14 years of Achashverosh, then 6 years into Daryavesh, that's a little bit more, but 19, then whatever, in the second year of Daryavesh, I'm sorry. This, okay, whatever the calculation is, I'm confused. Whatever the calculation is, in the Malchus of Daryavesh, she gave the Brish, oh, you can once again rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, you could restore the Beis HaMikdash. That is predicted here in these psukim. First is going to be in Pasuk Mem Beis Vizocharti, after 52 years of Galus, Vizocharti es Brisi Yaakov. First you have Oz Yikona, Levom Harel, Oz Yitzu Es Avadam, they're going to be Eretz Avihem in Bavel, and now there's going to be a Zechira Beris Avos, a Pekida. Vizocharti es Brisi Yaakov, Yaves Brisi Yitzchak, Yaves Brisi Avram, Eskov, Eretz Eskov. The land will be remembered, there's a Pekida, go back home. But then the next pasuk says it's going to be short-lived. There's going to be a stay. Koresh is going to say, nope. V'oretz nochamol. Te'azeh mehem v'siretz eshav. So sechob ha'shema mehem v'hem yitzvah s'vom yam v'yam v'mishayim osu v'yeskusai golan avsham. And then, 19 years later, nochamol. Daryavesh. You can rebuild, and indeed they rebuild. They rebuild the wall. They rebuild the city, and Nehemiah comes, and Ezra's there, and they have the Amona. They all sign the oath. They sign the document where we learned in Ezra and Nehemiah. The Afkam Zos Piyosim Erzav Loma Asma Galtem Zochaitel and Brisri Shema Shavut Seisiyosam, and it's going to be a Geula, a two-step process. The Chofetz Chaim said the same exact pattern appear. This is when he was still alive. Is going to happen for the Geula by Yesheni. From the Geula of Edom in our lifetime. In his lifetime, there was a Pekida, the Balfour Declaration. Go back! Sovereignty! Sovereignty! This is Chofetz Chaim talking. This is clean. There's going to be a Pekida. There's going to be a Pekida. And there's going to be an incredible historic and Klal Yisrael to return to the land. And indeed, they will return to the land. And they'll be given a degree of autonomy, sovereignty. They'll have a state. But it's not over yet. Then there's going to be a decline. There's going to be a great decline. V'ho'oreitz te'azev mehem. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be with the full kedusha of what the Geula was meant to be. And this is going to last through a whole pasuk. A whole pasuk is going to, of Teichacha, of Golus, is going to exist until the time when Klal Yisrael will once again, there'll be an awakening, and will usher in the ultimate Geula Shlema of the Zacharit Yilohem B'ris Yishem Asher Otzeis Yosam Yeretz Shan Lein Agam Lios Lohem Lelukim Ani Hashem. Now, let's just go a step further. There's a very big difference between the first Pekida and the second Pekida. The first Pekida, it's Bris Avos. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We don't need to do nothing. It will happen by itself. The first, a remembrance. Hashem will remember us, and will act upon that remembrance and bring the Geula. It's Bris Avos. What's Bris Avos? Don't do nothing. sit back, relax, things will happen by itself. We don't need your active participation. There'll be a movement in the world. Zionism, religious Zionism. Come back to Eretz Yisrael. It's just going to happen. But then there's going to be a decline. Then there's going to be a nisayon. Do you really want this? What's the true hashkafa? What are your values in life? What do you want out of Eretz Yisrael? I've taken you back. You can get on a plane, you can go to Eretz Yisrael, you can live there, you can make Aliyah, no one's stopping you. But it's not a geula. Unfortunately, we're surrounded by enemies. It's not an easy life. It's not so easy. There's no Beis HaMikdash. What do you want? There'll be a tkufa of that pasuk in between. And then the next pasuk, it's fascinating. The next zechira, you look very carefully, depends on us. We have to finish off the job. There's no more zechus bris of us. It's the bris. Let me read the word pasuk. Rashi says, what's bris rishonim? It's not the avos, because that was in the two psukim before. It's the shvatim. What are the shvatim? The banim, the children. Who are the banim today? What is the homiletic meaning of this idea? There's bris avos, there are avos and there are banim. Our predecessors and the children, meaning us today. If you want to go to the next step, the next level, and bring the ultimate geula, I will remember you, the bris rishonim, which in this context, relative to the pasuk before of the bris avos, means the next generation. The generation of the banim, the bris or rishonim, Rashi says of the shvatim, which refers to, we're saying homiletically, is the next generation. Ashen 1 here, it's very specific. What do you want from Eretz Yisrael? Pasuk says, "Asher hitzesi oisame eretz Mitzrayim leinei hagoyim lihiyos lohem leilokim." It didn't say that in the previous pasuk. I took you out of Mitzrayim to bring you to Eretz, or to be your God. How are we? I took you out of Mitzrayim to give you the Torah, and to give you the Torah, and to live in Eretz Yisrael, a life where you are mekayim the Torah. And when I will remember this, meaning when you act upon, that's when Ani Hashem, that's when the Geula Shlema will come. In other words, what he's saying, what's happening over here is, there will be a Geula, but the Geula is a two-part Geula. The first part of the Geula will happen, Hashem will do it on His own. It's going to be the bris avos, and in fact there's an extra vav, Rashi tells us, it's guaranteed. Yaakov Avinu, he took a mashkon from Pinchas, he took a mashkon from Eliyahu, the vav, but that guarantee that Hashem has given us, the Geula will come, is only part one. Part two is for us to finish off. We have to finish off the job where we recognize that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim to bring us to Har Sinai, to give us the Torah, to bring us to Eretz Yisrael, that we should serve Hashem Tayag Mitzvos. There's no bris avos for that. There's no zechus avos for that. There's no extra vavs that have been snatched from Eliyahu. That second part is for us. It's our active participation. It's the same exact thing which happened in Nehemiah. Hashem was a bekida. You can go. They went. And then Nehemiah said, okay, now it's part two. It's part two. Who's coming? We're the Levim. We're the Kehanim. Are you observing Shabbos? You want this Bayis Sheni to last, to turn into the Bayis Shlishi, to last, to be the Geula Shleima? You got to do it yourself. Hashem is only going to do for you that much. He's only going to take you 90%. And then he's going to test you, do you want that extra 10%? If you want that extra 10%, that is the gap in between the first Zechira, the Pekida, Bris Avos, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, the Vav, Yaakov, and Eliyahu. Hashem did it. I've done mine. Now, you do yours. You make me remember that I took you out of Mitzrayim. Adam is trying to lehokim. Doesn't say here bris avos. It says the bris banim. You are the banim relative to the avos. You have to take that extra step and be mekayim in the Torah so that I should now bring the geula shleima. This pattern was certainly true in the time of the Bayis Sheni, in the Bayis Sheni, and the Chavetz Chaim says this whole pattern is repeating itself by Shlishi. Hashem has kept his part of the word. He brought us back to Eretz Yisrael. We're there. We have a presence. 6 million people came here with Eretz Yisrael. And now is the test. Now is the test. Are we going to go the next step, the Zocharti Lohem Bris Rishonim, to be from the Bonim that recognize Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, Lihiyos Lohem Leilokim? That's the next step. That is the Nesoyim of our generation. Have a wonderful Shabbos.